You're identical twins who work together to produce sculpture that reflects your own blue-collar background, but also records and comments on 21st century changes in that working world. Just recently, your sculptures were the subject of an article in the widely respected American Craft magazine. That's a considerable accolade. Is it something of a career milestone?
I think it certainly is. We've been working for a long, long time, especially with this body of work. We treat the body of work as a complete lifestyle. We grew up as around factory workers, and the work is strictly about factory life and the working class struggle.
Essentially, you took the culture of making things several steps further to make your own things. Tell us about your art. Kyle, would you describe what the art is like?
Our artwork is very narrative. It's very figure-based. One of the unique things that we try to combine with our work is combine found objects, site-specific, wood, metal, anything that relates back to that actual site, place, and work it back into our work. So it gives our work more of a sense of authenticity, a sense of place and time. So we have handcrafted ceramics juxtaposed with found objects that come from different factory sites.
I understand that you've recently expanded your original factory world subject matter to include workers in other marginal lines. What can you tell us about that, Kelly?
Well, growing up in a rural town where the factory was predominantly the major means of employment, we also noticed that there were these side groups that were also working within the same community. We had a lot of migrant workers that actually coexisted with the factory workers. But it was weird. It was different because these workers worked the fields and they disappeared. They were seasonal. So they were here. They had very little interaction with the regular community, but we knew that they were there. It seemed like they would just do the work and they would disappear.
And that kind of extended into this invisible working class. Kind of a side note, the people that we take for granted, the people that make up your beds if you're staying at a hotel or janitors, people that we just overlook, well, they have a rich history as well. And it's something that we want to portray. So it's not about auto industry. It's about everything. It's something that we don't want to overlook one class of folks.
Well, your work is instantly recognizable to anyone who's seen some of it. And there's a piece on view right now at the Artisan Enterprise Center in Covington in the show that's called The Human Face. Can you tell us something about that particular piece?
To give you a little bit of background about our work is not about one specific person. We typically don't like to do narratives about a specific person. So the face isn't any particular person whatsoever. It's not a family member or a neighbor, but it could be anyone. It could be your uncle, your brother. It's very anonymous in its approach. We like to keep it that way, besides the fact that it is very gender specific. One of our first pieces that we actually started to increase the scale of the work so it becomes more human, more personal and intimate just because of the nature of its scale.
But it's something that we, well, like Kelly said before, we were very male-driven in all of our work. And then we had got to thinking about it that, wow, our mother, our sisters, our aunts, they all worked in the factory too. So at one time, it was very, very gender-based until we really had to take a step back and really think about it, that it's inclusive to race, gender, you know, the whole nine yards.
And did your mother have any influence in that decision?
Not at first. Yeah. All before, we were making these figurative narrative works, and they were all male-driven, without even understanding that my mother also worked side-by-side in the plant. My sisters worked in the plant. So it was this kind of unconscious thing, like, wow, we stepped back and we had to really observe what was going on. And then we started to notice that how important the female was within the workforce. I mean, there were tons of single working women that were the breadwinners. It never really dawned on us that they were a very viable part of that particular community.
You know, just to touch on what Kelly had mentioned about the breadwinners, you always assume the male would take care of the family and bring home the bacon. But we have sisters and aunts, and there are plenty of women that hold equal responsibility and jobs within a factory setting or a blue-collar setting. So we wanted to be inclusive with gender and race because it's all around us.
So that's a change in your work as it's developed. Well, I'm interested in how you work together. Are you more or less interchangeable, or does one of you have a special talent and the other another?
We kind of like to think of ourselves as one person in two different bodies. We've been programmed for such a long time, and I think this directly comes from our mother dressing us alike, that we become literally one person. But what reinforced that is the working ethic that we've learned from our father and having a chance to work in the factory.
Alongside him.
So we started to work together and collaborate and depend on and trust each other.
It's kind of a subconscious okay. If I start something, Kelly could pick up right off and finish it out and vice versa.
Whereas some people would just freak out.
Yeah. And
a new set of hands would come in and start to manipulate something.
Yeah, it's something that we don't even really think about it. You know, it's just, like I said, it's a subconscious okay to make these changes or for the work. It's a lot of trust.
Yeah. It's kind of like we're like one giant octopus and we work on four different pieces at one time. So we're never really getting bored. We've got certain activities that we have to do and we function, but we're very interchangeable. So Kyle's not the painter and I'm the sculptor. We both work independently from each other, but we collaborate on everything for the good of the piece.
Well, I wonder what artists have been particularly inspiring to you.
Well, definitely Diego Rivera, a lot of the WPA artists of the time really inspired us. Roberto Giacometti comes to mind as far as the expressionistic qualities of the forms.
Going back to Diego Rivera, he had this very romanticized all-for-one, workers working together, but that wasn't really true. Coming back from our own factory experience and seeing how segmented and gender-biased working within the factory is, so I think it's something that we wanted to portray a kind of a more real approach to what we experienced and what my dad experienced, passed on through stories. And it's something that it really never gets old. It's always fresh.
Well, you're each an associate professor in art at a university. Kelly, you're at Xavier here in Cincinnati, and Kyle, you're at the University of Dayton. But where's your studio?
Our studio is located in Centerville. It's actually in my twin brother's home. And we chose this route
many years ago.
I mean, when we first moved into Dayton, we wanted to go get a downtown studio, and we thought to ourselves, wow, we do a lot of our work together. The fact that we're teaching, it's almost like a romantic ideal to have a studio, because unless you're working in the studio, is it really necessary? So Kyle purchased a home, and it had enough space for the studio, and it's a tiny space, too. Uh-huh. But we do big work out of that tiny space.
And we're finding that working at the university level, there are studios that's provided. There's kilns and welding, and we have accessibility to those areas, but we find that we do more of our work at home. It's more of a convenience for us to not have to travel downtown to go to a studio when you can come home, rest a little bit, and basically roll right out of bed and down to the studio and work.
It becomes important for us, especially to pass it on to our students, that art doesn't have to be this elitist thing, that it's only made for certain people. We're very class conscious. You can make art anywhere. You don't have to rely on a fancy downtown studio. It could be a garage. It could be a basement. It could be anywhere, providing that you're just making the work.
Well, as teachers of art, I wonder if you see a difference in what today's students are looking for as compared to your own student goals.
I would say what I experience now in the art world now, there's a lot of fear, especially being sculptors, that technology is going to come in and change the path and the way of traditional arts. Kyle and I are really firm believers in traditional handcrafted objects. With the sculpture world now, there are rapid prototype machines and there are 3D imagers and printers and things that will make things look absolutely perfect. But we're still stuck on the whole notion of the artist hand and how the artist hand interacts with the materials. I hold true to that. I mean, and I think it's important for students to learn that handcrafted objects, they're still around.
But one of the things that we really try to touch on that we use in our own personal work is that you don't have to be a purist. If you want to combine photography and painting and printmaking to your work, you know, it's something that it needs to be explored, and not downing purists or anything like that. But we work in a fashion that we combine painting skills and photography and other medias within our work, and we just want to open that up to our students, that it's okay to take those risks and to try new things. And if it makes your work better, kudos.
Yeah, we've noticed that, you know, it's become more and more cliquish at times where we see students who want to be a painter and that's it, or they want to be a printmaker and then that's it. But you come up short when you don't use the larger, broader toolbox of art. Art doesn't have to be this exclusive thing. It can be very inclusive with media, with process, with movements, with, you know, historical backgrounds, and merge them all together. After all, it's art, and that's what we really try to instill in our students.
We started off as painters in undergrad, but we're so enamored with making the frames of our paintings that transfer it into, like,
sculpture
and ceramics and photography and other things. So just giving students more choices, more toolbox that they can take in and apply to their own works.
Well, congratulations on the article in American Craft magazine, and thanks so much for coming in to talk about your work with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much.
We've been talking with Kelly and Kai Phelps, sculptors and brothers, whose art is very much their joint product. For more information, see wvfu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Jane Durrell.